morning we said that we are in the end times of the end time. And we said there's a prophetic clock and it's ticking, and every day we are getting one day closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And that's just fine with me. I would not mind being here at all at the second coming of Jesus Christ and seeing the prophecies being fulfilled one after the other. These are exciting days in which we're living. Now, one of the ways that you know you're in the end time of the end times started when Christ was born in Bethlehem. That said, after 4,000 years, finally he's come, and he's come. But many people didn't understand he had to come again to finish everything that needed to be done in the prophetic Bible. But we know that we're in the end time of the end time. One of the men tell me, what is the super sign that we know it?
That Israel is a country again.
That's right. Israel is a country again. From A.D. 70 to A.D. May 14, 1948, they were a valley of dry bones. That's a picture, I believe, of the Holocaust. That's the picture of the ovens over there in Europe when Hitler put them to death using Heinrich Himmler, who really planned it all out and was a mastermind of it. And they tried to kill the Jews off, and Satan was behind it. They tried to stop. Satan knew that Israel would have to come back. He said, I'm going to stop them. He fulfilled prophecy. The dry bones, they shook, they came together, they got sinew on them and flesh on them, and they stood up the IDF, which is a great army. Hard to believe, the IDF, one of the greatest armies in the world, that these were the people that marched into Hitler's gas chambers and were killed. That's only God. God did that. And that was the hour of the clock of the end time. The hour hand began to move, the end of the end. But then the minute hand began to move, telling us that we are in the end of the end. And the minute hand happened when? What event was that that ticked off the minute hand? I'll give you a hint. It's when I got saved that happened. Brother Jose. Yes, he's got it. The Six-Day War. Jesse, you got something else to say? It was the Six-Day War, June of 1967, when Israel, in 6 days, just a handful of Israelites, defeated 60 million Islamic Arab attackers, bent on driving them out of the land, but it didn't happen. Hey, there were miracles done. I remember going to church services and pastors, preachers coming back from the middle, and they had miracles that happened, literal miracles that God did, and it was amazing. And they captured the old city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, and that was now the minute hand that had to happen before the end time. But the second hand is going to happen, and that is on top of the Temple Mount. The temple is going to be rebuilt, and when that happens, we're down to seconds away from Jesus Christ coming back. And already it's getting prepared, because they have the priests, they have the Kohanim, they're being trained to do the sacrifices of the temple. It's all getting done in place. They have the red heifer now. They can do the red heifer. Some people say they already offered the red heifer, but they're keeping it mysterious. But we are so close. We're coming down to the end. And your approach to the end, we went to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2, and we said three things about 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and 2 about the approach that you need to have to the end times. And the first thing we said was in verse number 7 of 2 Thessalonians 1. I'll read it. It says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Can you imagine that? Whatever trouble you may be going through, The Bible says when Jesus comes back, we're going to have rest. And the world is going to be troubled because God is going to pour out his judgments on this world. And I'd like to tell you things are going to go from good to better to best, but thank God he's helping us in America. We are seeing God's hand in answer to prayer. So I'm glad God is involved, and he wants us to pray that we can live peaceable lives with our government and all God. And I believe God is still answering prayer, and I encourage you to keep praying and come Wednesday night and pray. But eventually we know that things are going to get worse and worse. The Bible said evil men and seducers shall wax or grow worse and worse. But no matter what trouble we have in this world, when Jesus comes back, you got no trouble. It's over. This is happening, and every day we're getting one day closer. What's the worst thing that can happen to us? Death. We've had it in our church, Benji Rodriguez. We've had it in our church, Ruben Rodriguez. We've had it in our church, Marlene Tolley's husband and Marion Owen's husband, and they're with the Lord. But when Jesus is coming back, we said he's coming back with them, and he's going to be glorified when he brings them back. And what's he going to do? Raise their bodies up from the grave. And that's going to be a wonderful thing. And so we said, the first thing you need to approach the end times with, do not be disturbed. Jesus is coming back. Why? The who of his coming, the when of his coming. He'll come at just the right time. The wonder of his coming. He'll be glorified when he brings your loved ones back. Even if more die this year from our church, they're all coming back, and they're going to be raised from the dead. And if you're here, you'll see their bodies come out of the grave. And then your body will be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. While the world is having coronary attacks, while the world is seeing tsunamis, while the world is seeing that great earthquake that is coming, while the world is seeing cosmic darkening and freaking out and mourning, oh, you're going to look up and say, oh, this is great. And you'll see the glory of his light shine. This is happening. It's not a cunningly devised fable. It's not a story. It's not a science fiction thing. It is coming to a world near you very soon. And it could happen, listen to me, not tonight, but in your lifetime. In your lifetime, it could happen, my friends. And so, don't be disturbed when you think about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a second thing that we need not to be in light of the end times and the coming of the Lord. And that is, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. And I'm going to read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 now and verse 2. And it says that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. You see, I believe they'd received a forged letter that was signed by the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, if you get a letter like that, that's not from me. He says in this chapter, I taught you, and you know what I taught you. You remember what I taught you about the coming of the Lord. And that is a lie. They're saying that the day of Christ is at hand. And by the way, the King James translators use the day of Christ. There is the day of Christ and there is the day of the Lord. Some people say they're one and the same. Actually, the day of Christ speaks of our deliverance out of this world by rapture. And that's spoken of in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians 2. The day of the Lord speaks of when he comes back, he raptures us out of here, but then on the same day he turns and starts to judge this world with judgments of fire. You say, Pastor, are you saying that this event, the rapture and the wrath of God poured out, will happen on the same day? Yes, and I'll prove it to you. Go with me to Luke and chapter number 17, Luke 17, and here's what it says. And as it was in the days of Noe, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating, is there? I eat every day, almost. There's nothing wrong with drinking, and it's not talking about alcohol, it's talking about drink. There's nothing wrong with marrying and having a father give away a daughter in marriage. That's not the point of this. Oh, in the days of Noah, they were drinking and... No, that's not... He's simply making a point, listen to me, that the world will not be expecting the judgment of Almighty God. The world will not be expecting the second coming of Jesus Christ because they're ignorant of the Word of God. There's some people that are afraid when they think of the end times in the world. There are some people that don't know enough to be afraid, and there's some people that know their Bible. Now, you shouldn't be overtaken with the second coming, and you should know exactly what's happening if you're taught the Bible. But the world doesn't know that, and that's the point of our Lord. When he comes back and he pours out his judgment like he poured out the flood and flooded the whole world and drowned everybody in the world except for Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. When the Lord comes back, it says that they're going to be eating, drinking, right up until the day Noah entered the ark. It took 7 days to load the ark, and Noah got in on the seventh day. Now, here's what it says. The day Noah entered the ark and was saved from the flood. But it also says on the same day that the flood came. So as soon as Noah got in the ark, God shut the door behind him, and Noah was saved that day. His family was saved by going in the ark, but the same day they experienced salvation, God's judgment fell. And that's the way it's going to be. The same day of the rapture, as soon as we get caught up out of here, God's going to begin to pour out his wrath upon this world. Now, that's not only true of Noah, but it's true of Lot. In Luke 17, the Lord goes on to say, and I'm going to quote the Lord, he says, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat. Nothing wrong with that. They drank. They bought. Nothing wrong with buying. They sold. They planted. Nothing wrong with that. They builded. But, now watch, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Who took Lot out of Sodom? Angels. Who's going to take you to meet the Lord in the air? Angels. That's how you're going to get saved out of the wrath of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. God has not appointed us to wrath. We'll be out of here. But the same day we get raptured or resurrected, if you're already dead, the same day we get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, my friend, the wrath is going to fall in a series of judgments that you can read about in the book of Revelation on this world. And so, don't be deceived about these things. You see, do not be deceived about these things. And this forged letter was saying, apparently, that the day of Christ had come upon them, and you missed the rapture. And so, the wrath is going to fall on you. And they were freaked out. They were freaked out to think that because they knew it would be right away. The same day of the rapture, the wrath would fall. And Paul said, don't you worry. He said, before that day of Christ, before you're saved out of this world, and then the wrath will fall in the day of the Lord, he said, before that, something has to happen. And he taught that in verses 1 through 3, what must happen before the day of Christ, before we're raptured out of this world, and then the same day the wrath falls. And let's look at that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 3, because he doesn't want you deceived about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you say, Pastor, why do you say don't be deceived? Because Jesus said it, the Apostle Paul said it, and I'm saying to you tonight, there are a lot of well-meaning Christians who just are so deceived about the rapture. And it is not good to be deceived. And you don't have to be. Because I want to read this to you, please look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, the first part of the verse. It says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of Christ, shall not come except there come a falling away first. Except there come a falling away first. Now, I've studied my Bible for many years. I know that the original language, that word, falling away, was written in those two words, was the word, listen to me, apostasia is the word. Apostasia. It is a word that means falling away, but falling away from what? If you look it up, nowhere ever is the word apostasia used except a falling away from God and His truth. It's always a falling away from God and His truth. But do you know what most modern pre-tribulation people who say that, 7 years, we're going to have 7 years of God's wrath and 7 years of tribulation, and they're one and the same. They mix them up. No, you can't mix those two up. They mix them up. They say, we're going to have 7 years, and we're going to be out of here before that. And they say, here it is, right here. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. You know what they say that falling away is? Does any one of the men know what they say that word apostasy is? That falling away from the truth of God is? What is it?
They say it's the rapture.
They say it's the rapture. Because they've got to have the rapture before the wrath, and the wrath is the whole 7 years wrong, and the tribulation, they got to have the rapture for the tribulation. They say that is also the whole 7 years wrong. Don't let people deceive you. It's not the rapture before the 7 years. The falling away is apostasy. It is a falling away from God and His truth. And you say, well, Pastor, then what is that apostasy? What is that apostasy? And it will be at the beginning of the final 7 years. Daniel 9, 24 through 27 says there's 7 years, and that will have to happen before Christ reigns over the world for 1,000 years. So what is that apostasy? It's an apostasy of the nation of Israel. They are God's chosen nation. It is the apostasy. In fact, if you look up the word here, it says, except there come a falling away first. It's talking about a specific apostasy. And here's how it works. God has brought Israel back from the ovens of Hitler. God has put them back in their land. God has let them become a nation again. You say, why does God do that? They don't even believe in the Messiah. And they're certainly not perfect. Why? And they have wrong things they do. Why? It's because, my friend, He made a covenant with Abraham to to give them a land, to give them his blessing. And God promised that he would do these things for them. And so God, based on the Abrahamic covenant, is blessing Israel in these last days. And so he's brought them back to the land. And he's had all these wars. And supernaturally, Israel has defeated the Arab Islamic enemies. By the way, Donald Trump's got a 20-point plan to try to bring peace to the Middle East. It ain't going to happen. No. I like Donald Trump, but it's not going to happen. I like the Word of God a lot better. Israel will win more wars. They'll win the Psalm 83 war. They will take over Gaza. They will take over Jordan. They will, and it's going to be tough. There's going to be a big Middle East war coming. And all of the nations, according to Psalm 83 especially, that are right around Israel, those nations are going to be defeated by the Israeli defense forces, by the supernatural help of God helping them. It's going to happen. And why? Because God has a plan for Israel, my friend. And it's going to happen. And then, after they get that victory, they're going to be very prosperous. They're going to have a lot of wealth, oil wealth, natural gas wealth. They're going to be one of the wealthiest nations on earth. Their army's even going to become more powerful. And what's going to happen? There's going to be a point in time where Russia and the Soviet Union states, the Central Asian republics like Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan and all the stands, they are Islamic. They are going to join with Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. Turkey's going to join with Russia, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And North African nations that are against Israel, that are Islamic, are going to join. These are an outer ring of nations, and they're going to come down in Israel with an army that the IDF cannot face. The United States will not be able to help them, and no other nation will help them. Some will just protest. God Almighty is going to crush Russia. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be fire from heaven. There's going to be a friendly fire where Russia and Turkey and all these armies that speak different languages, there's going to be confusion. They're going to fight one another. Their bodies are going to fall. It's going to take 7 months just to bury the dead of these soldiers. And they're going to be defeated. Now, you would think that after God did that, and Islam is put in its place, and it will be, you would have thought Israel would praise God. And they will praise the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Believers will praise the God of the Jewish Messiah, the Lord Jesus. But my friends, they are going to give all of that up, and they're going to join with the European Union and trust a man from the European Union and trust their Jewish Antichrist who's going to say, merge with the European Union because we need to have acceptance from the world and we need to have the world be behind our temple worship and give us the promise that nobody's going to stop us when we worship in our temple. And it says in Isaiah 28:15, because ye, that's talking about Israel, have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hid ourselves. In other words, when they make that agreement and they become part of the European Union, it's not going to work out good for them. Israel is going to make a very bad mistake at that point. They're going to trust the world government. They're going to trust globalism. And it will take 3.5 years for the leader of the European Union to have so much power that the whole world is under his power. And all of these leaders in the world, like a Bill Gates type figure, I'm not saying Bill Gates, and all these guys over the technology and all this, there'll be 10 of them. They'll all give all of their resources to this man, like an Elon Musk or whoever. They're going to all give their resources to this one man and say, we're for you. We'll use all our resources. And Israel will feel like, yeah, this is great, man. We're part of this now. You should have trusted God. You see, at the beginning of the 7 years, they're going to make this apostasy, this falling away from the Abrahamic covenant with their God. And 3.5 years later, they're going to pay for it, because the Bible says what is going to happen. And here's what it says in Revelation chapter 13. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death, talking about the empires, 7 beast empires that have persecuted Israel through history. I saw one of his heads, speaking of a man over an empire, wounded to death. He died, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power unto the beast, that's the Gentile world ruler, who's going to come back from the dead, and he persecuted Israel in the past. And they worship the beast, saying, who's able to make war with him? In other words, they recognize this guy. Now, we have Egypt as a world power that under Pharaoh went after Israel, killed the Jewish children, remember, drowning them in the river. And then we can go from there, and even before that, we had Egypt and Assyria. Remember Syria? They came down and destroyed Israel in 722 BC, and that was the second empire. Then we had Babylon, you know about Nebuchadnezzar, and then we had Persia, you know about Haman and the Persian Empire. Then we had the Greek Empire, and they persecuted Israel under Antiochus Epiphanes. And then the sixth one after the Persian Empire was the Greek Empire. Well, that was Antiochus. And then this, I messed up there. The sixth one would be the Roman Empire following the Greek Empire. And the Roman Empire under Titus came down and took Israel. He had 6 empires. The 7th empire was Nazi Germany when the Jews were in dispersion under Adolf Hitler. That was a beast empire that persecuted. And then there's going to be an 8th empire, Revelation said. And one of the previous 7 heads who had a deadly wound to the head with a military weapon is going to come back. And I believe the whole world's going to recognize him, and I can't see anybody else recognized like that except for Adolf Hitler. He fits it. And so, how sad it is, it says Israel is going to apostatize. This isn't the rapture. This is Israel coming away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, making a covenant with this empire and this man from this empire who they don't know is Hitler at that point. He's incognito. And the Jewish Antichrist is saying side with him, and he's going to rule the world, and people are going to worship him. And they're going to worship Satan. And they are going to be led by the Jewish Antichrist to do these things. And right in the middle of the 7 years, the Jewish Antichrist is going to put an image of this Gentile ruler right in that temple. And the Jewish people who've been practicing their religion, they're going to freak out. They're going to run, and they're going to hide. So look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again in verse 3, and I'll read it. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, what? The day of Christ, the rapture, followed by the wrath of God. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first. What is that? Israel falling away from the God of Abraham and going to make an agreement with Hitler incognito. Can you imagine that? And then it says, that man of sin be revealed. Can you imagine the shock of Israel people when they see it's Hitler? Can you imagine that? You know, that's called the man of sin. When Adam sinned, he was a sinful man, a man that committed. Now, at the end, you've got a man of sin, the son of Satan. He is a wicked individual, and the world is getting ready. By the way, Candace Owens turning against Israel, Nick Fuentes talking about Hitler and praising Hitler. Even some dumb, quote-unquote, Christians go along with this kind of garbage and not understanding what's going on, not understanding that Satan has always tried to take Israel out because he wants to stop Jesus from coming back. You can't stop the sun from rising, and you can't stop Jesus from coming back. That's why I'm not disturbed, and I'm not deceived tonight. I know that these two things must happen, that Israel, after many blessings, is going to turn away from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and make a covenant with Hitler incognito, the ruler of a former beast empire. And then, my friends, 3.5 years later, he is going to rule the entire world. All of the technological czars and kings, as it were, are going to crown him and give him all their ability. And he'll be able to see everybody because technology is getting to the point you can't hide. It's like omniscience. And not only that, Satan himself is getting kicked out of heaven, and he's going to help all of this. And what a time this will be. It'll be such a time of deception that even the elect would be deceived if it wasn't for God Almighty. And so don't you be deceived about these things. Don't misunderstand prophecy. Know what's going on. Know where we are based in the Word of God. Don't be ignorant about these things. And don't be disturbed either, though, because he may have started out as a serpent. He's going to grow to be a dragon that will rule the world, and China will be involved in under the beast. And all the nations, you know, Hitler just wanted to take over, first of all, Europe and Russia. He's going to have it all. The bear will be under him. China will be under him. Everybody will be under this beast. And they'll know who it is. And they'll say, hey, we can't fight him. He's on the winning team. We can't fight the dragon. Let's worship the dragon. Let's, in other words, the closer we get, the more clear the battle lines are going to be drawn. And the Bible says you'll be hated of all nations. Hated of all nations. You know, even now they're saying hate speech is talking about Jesus in England and in Australia. Can you imagine that? Look where the world is just going. It's going so fast. Don't be deceived by these things. And the Bible is very clear, before the rapture and before the wrath, which happens on the same day, this covenant with Israel, they're going to give up their sovereignty to the EU and go along. And then the revelation of this man of sin right in the middle. And everybody will have to take his mark to buy and sell. This has to come before the rapture. This has to come before the wrath of God is poured out on this world. Our Lord said it in Matthew 24. There'll be 3.5 years in verses 4 through 8. 3.5 years called the beginning of birth pangs. Beginning of birth pangs. And then the global government will come to power under this this beast. And that will be the great tribulation right in the middle of it. And our Lord talked about it in Matthew 24. And then he said, except those days be shortened. And what cuts them short? Cosmic darkening. The sun, moon, stars cuts it short. And then the glory of the second coming of Jesus Christ cut short the great persecution by the beast and the Jewish Antichrist. It cuts it short. And then he's going to raise the dead believers and rapture us out of here. And then the wrath of God is going to begin to fall on this world. Don't let anybody deceive you. These two things must come first, before the second coming, before the rapture, and the wrath of God is poured out. So don't be disturbed. God is in control. And number two, don't be deceived by anybody that tries to misrepresent the Bible. And finally and lastly, let me end by saying, don't be discouraged. And I'd like to call your attention to this last point, don't be discouraged, by looking at chapter 1 again, verse 7 and 8. And it says in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Do you ever feel like you need some rest? Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. The older you get, the longer you live in this world, your human hopes are going to be dashed, yeah, discouraged. You're going to be disheartened if you're putting your hope in all the human hopes of this world. It's not going to happen. But I got good news for you. When the Lord Jesus comes back, you're going to have real rest. Your troubles are over forever. You've heard about all the fairy tales where they lived happily ever after with the prince. It's not a fairy tale. It's happening. It's coming. Don't be discouraged, my friend. You have no reason to be discouraged. This is real. And he says here in verse 7, rest. And he says, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. I'm so glad the Calvary's coming. We used to watch the old westerns, you know, and the hero was just about, and the heroine was just about ready to be defeated by the Indians or by whatever it was, and all of a sudden you heard, and the cavalry would come to their rescue, and I remember, yes, you know, that's real. Jesus is the Calvary. He's coming back with his angels. And the first thing he's going to do is raise the body of your dead loved ones and you'll be reunited. Then he's going to change your body. Take his angels and get you out of here. And you're going to meet the Lord in the air, my friend. And it's going to be a time of wonderful rest and blessing. He's coming back again. Don't be discouraged. If politics go from bad to worse, right now they're good. I'm praying they'll continue, but there's going to be a time when it's going to go from bad to worse. Don't be discouraged. My hope is not ultimately in government. My hope is not ultimately in technology. I use technology, but it's going to turn. The worm is going to turn. Your technology is going to bite you, you know where. But I don't put my hope in that. Therefore, I'm not discouraged because Jesus is coming back again. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, another reason not to be discouraged. Look what it says in verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed. That's in the middle of the 7 years. That wicked person, everybody's going to know who it is. The guy that lived before, that persecuted the Jewish people and was one of the worst persecutors or the worst persecutor in all of history. He's going to be revealed for who he is. Jewish people are going to run for the hills, those that don't want to take his mark and be involved in his system. A lot of believers will run too. Who whom the Lord shall consume, though, it says, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Do you know what? When the Lord wants to put him away, he will do it with just a word from his mouth. The battle of Armageddon is just the word from his mouth. And all the armies of the world that are marshaled under this beast, their blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle bits for 200 miles in the Middle East. Just by a word from him. He's called the Word of God, my friends. Therefore, you have no reason to be discouraged. He's going to rescue you. And then he's going to defeat all of your enemies. Thank God for Donald Trump. He's done a lot, but this is greater than Donald Trump. He trumps everybody. He trumps everything. His name is Jesus. His name is the Word of God. He's going to crush Satan. He's going to tie him up and put him at the center of the earth and reign and rule for 1,000 years of peace, and you'll rule with him, my friend. That's not a fairy tale. This is real. And we could very easily see it happen in our lifetime. I'm not saying it's going to, but it could. Because we know the hour hand is already running. The super sign is already there. Israel. Israel, Candace Owens. Like it or lump it. God says Israel is the hour hand of the end times. And then there's the minute hand. Israel took over the Temple Mount and the old city of Jerusalem. And the second hand will be when they kick that stinking Islamic bunch of idolatry off of there. And the Jewish temple will be there, but even then Satan will grab it and put the image of the beast in there, because he always wants to take over what God has. But I'm so glad to let you know that God's going to wipe him out. That tribulation temple will be wiped out. And the Lord is going to bring down the heavenly temple and put it right on there. And the Lord himself is going to rule and reign in the Holy of Holies for 1,000 years of peace. The Jewish Antichrist and the beast, the Hitler figure, they'll be in the bottom. They'll be in hell, the lake of fire. And you, my friend, you'll be reigning with Christ in a new body. Never get old, never get sick, never die. I don't know about you, but that encourages me. I don't need to be discouraged tonight. I don't need to be distrustful of my Lord, though that's not one of the points. I don't need to be disturbed. And certainly in this church, with the teaching that you have, you don't need to be deceived about how this is all going to play out. It's very clear in the Word of God. Thank God for that. And so I encourage you to serve him, to invest in his kingdom, your time, your treasure, your money, your talents. These are the wise people. The Bible says, kiss the Son, lest ye perish from the way. When his wrath, if you've not trusted Jesus, and he's not your Lord and Savior, like I said, you're on the losing team, and I wouldn't want to be in your sneakers when he comes back. You'll be ashamed at his appearing. And I believe there'll be some people in here, I hate to say it, maybe 1, 2, 3, I don't know. Remember when the jab came and so many people took the jab and got deceived? I was shocked, some people, how they got deceived. The Bible says if you're the elect, you won't be deceived. You won't take the mark of the beast. But it's going to be a time of deception. And you're not going to be out of here before it happens unless you die before it happens. Don't be deceived. You're going to have to fight. Not necessarily with a sword of iron sword, but with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's why I'm preaching these things to you. So you could tell them to your children, and they can tell them to their children. And if the Lord tarries, they can tell them to their children. So they're not deceived. Because those that take the mark, even if you are a member of Scranton Revival Baptist Church and you take the mark, it's because you were never saved. You don't have the Holy Spirit. And you will then be deceived. And you will have to go to hell, because everybody that takes the mark of the beast will worship the beast and wind up in hell. It won't even last for 3.5 years, his kingdom. It's in the middle of the 7 years, and before the end of the 7 years, Jesus is coming back to rapture us and brought his wrath. And so, my friend, it won't even last 3.5 years. How foolish to sell your soul for that. But if you get saved right now, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Nothing can take that away. And God says, I won't let you be deceived. It's not possible, he said, that the elect of God will be deceived. But these things are happening, and we are right now in a time of great prophetic fulfillment. But you need not be disturbed. You need not be deceived. And you need not be discouraged. Praise God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about how you approach the end of the end. And I want to say, is there anything in your life that's not ready? Are you getting ready?